Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program today, and we hope that everything is going well with you, that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God today. We're going to be doing that at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning. We invite you to be with us. In fact, we'll be doing it pretty much all week. We have a special guest speaker with us this week, Greg Chandler, usually preaches over at the Hughes Road Church of Christ in Madison, but he's going to be with us this week. This morning at 9 o'clock, and then this afternoon at 3, a little bit earlier than our normal afternoon worship service. We'd love for you to come out and be with us. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're anywhere in the Athens area, Greg will be talking this morning about the Song of Moses and the Lamb, and this afternoon at 3, he'll be talking about the subject, Satan is not God. That should be a pretty interesting lesson. But then he'll be with us all through the week, 10 o'clock every morning, 7 o'clock every evening, here at Eastside again, Monday through Friday, the Eastside Church of Christ. And come out and be with us in any of these assemblies. Greg is a great Bible teacher. And if you love to learn the Bible or want to learn something about the Bible, it would just benefit you so much to be able to come out and sit at his feet and listen to these great lessons. If you can't be with us, check us out online, because all of these lessons and all of the sermons that are preached at Eastside are live streamed, and then they're available later for watching on Facebook or on our website. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, and look at the live streaming there or the recorded videos, or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org. eastside-church.org, click on the media tab and the live streaming to hear any of the lessons that are preached at Eastside. But especially, I think you'd be very interested to hear the things that Brother Greg Chandler will be preaching this week. So again, come out and be with us if you possibly can. This morning on our program, I'd like to talk with you about loving God. I think loving God is something that most Christians understand God wants us to do. Most people in the world, it's not even on their radar that God wants us to love him. Or the concept of how can you love God? It's not very clear, I think, in a lot of people's minds. But our main purpose for being here and the main thing that God wants from us in this world is he wants us to love him. He created us to be his loving children. That's the whole purpose of us being here, to learn to be his loving children, to accept him as our father, and to love him as children love a loving father. That's what God wants. There was a very popular song by John Legend just a few years ago. It was entitled All of Me. And some of the words go like this: all of me loves all of you. Give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning. Even when I lose, I'm winning, because I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. That's really a pretty good description of what love is all about. One person giving all of themselves to another, the other person giving all of themselves to that person, and that beautiful, giving, self-sacrificing relationship. That is exactly what God wants from us. In fact, it's the first and foremost thing he wants from you. So I don't know who all is listening to the program this morning or what the situation in your life is. I don't know if you've thought about loving God and how important that is, or even that he wants you to love him. But I'd like us all to contemplate this morning just how important it is to love God, what's involved in loving God, and how we can show our love for God. So in Mark chapter 12 in our New Testaments, there was a scribe that came to Jesus, and he asked him this question: which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him and said, Mark 12 and verse 29, Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus is quoting there from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, which says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus adds the word mind there in Mark chapter 12. So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and this is the first and great commandment. This is the thing God wants us to do more than he wants us to do anything else. So many people have this idea that God is just the one, he gives us what we have, he blesses us, we want him to give us things, or we blame him when things go wrong. They have no concept of having this real loving relationship with a being who has put us on this earth and blessed us so richly in every way. C.S. Lewis said that the only thing God cannot be is moderately important. He's either not important at all or he's the most important thing in the world. He deserves all of me. He deserves my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Let's think for a while about what these elements encompass. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, to love God with all your heart is to love him with your emotion, your affections. The heart is the center of those things. But in the Bible, our heart is even more than that. Yes, it's composed of our emotions, but also of our mind, of our will, of our conscience. Our heart is the source of our feelings, our thoughts, our intentions, our sense of condemnation or guilt, our sense of self-worth, whether we've done something good or something bad. It is the seat of our conscience, you know, that judges whether we're doing good or bad. God created, he created all of us with a heart, which enables us to love him wholly and absolutely, to give all of ourselves to him. In Psalm 73 and verse 25, the psalmist asks, "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." See, God was in the heart of the psalmist, so much so that the psalmist loved God more than anybody on earth and loved him more than anybody in heaven. "Whom have I in heaven but you?" God, to the psalmist, God was his everything. This is loving God with your heart. God created us with a heart to enable us to do that. In Psalm 119 and verse 10, there the psalmist writes, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So someone who is in your heart, you think a lot about what they say. You think a lot about what you ought to do to please them if you really love them, if they're in your heart. That's how God wants us to be with him. And what a blessing it is when we can be that way with him, when we can genuinely love him deeply, emotionally, with all of our hearts, and desire him more than anything on earth, and most of all in heaven. Loving God is an experience of the heart. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." But he also said, "Love him with all your soul." This is loving God with your very life. The Greek word that's translated soul there is the word psuche. We get our word psychology from that, for instance. It's also translated life in the Bible in many verses. So your soul or your life, love God with all your soul, love God with all your life. It often refers in the Bible, this word does, to the essence of our being, the part of us that lives eternally. Your soul is eternal. And so we love God with this part of us. To love God with all your soul, we must be willing to give our lives over to him, to devote our life to his service, and if need be, even to be willing to die for him. How is this word that's translated life or soul used in Scripture along this line? Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. There, Jesus said, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever desires to save his soul will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So the essence of our being, our eternal life, that's what we're talking about here when we talk about the soul. It's the part of us that lives eternally. That's not worth giving up, right? Not for any amount of money, not for anything. Jesus wants us to have a soul that loves him. that loves him. So we love him with our life, with our very being, with all of us, with the eternal part of us. If you love God with your soul, you entrust him with your life. A lot of verses in the Bible have things that relate to this truth. The psalmist says in Psalm 62 and verse 5, "My soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." So here's someone who's trusting God so much in every aspect of his life. He trusts him in everything. God is his rock. He will not be moved. His soul waits for God, trusts in God, rests upon God. In the 42nd Psalm in verse 1, there the writer says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." The soul of the psalmist desires God like a thirsty deer on a hot summer's day desires a drink from the creek, right? The psalmist is describing this desire, this intense desire of his soul for God. And he wants to come and appear in the courts of God and worship God. We'll talk some more about that in a little while. But his soul loves God. Psalm 56 in verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You've delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living?" Oh, the psalmist is trusting his soul to God, is giving his soul to God. Psalm 103 in verse 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." He's wanting to devote all of himself to God. So when Jesus says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and then he says, with all your soul, with all of you, with your whole life, love him with all that you are, because after all that you are came from him. But then Jesus goes on to say that you're to love God with all your mind. The mind, of course, is the intellect, the repository of our knowledge. God can and must be loved with the mind, and that comes through knowledge. There are, I think, people in the world that have an affection for God emotionally, but don't have an affection for him when it comes to their minds. They're not willing really to use their minds or to dedicate their minds to God. God can and must be loved with the mind. The thoughts of his mind become precious to the thoughts of a mind that loves him. How many times have you asked or been asked by someone you love, "Hey, what are you thinking?" Or "a penny for your thoughts." That happens a lot in marriage relationships. You know, the husband wants to know what the wife's thinking. The wife wants to know what the husband's thinking. We share ideas. We share our thoughts about things. That's what happens when two people love each other. Well, God loves us and wants us to love him with all our mind, which means that we share thoughts. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 139 and verse 17. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." What the psalmist realizes is that God is thinking about him. God loves him, and he's thinking about him all the time. In fact, he couldn't even number the thoughts that God has toward him. And so if we're in that relationship with God, we also have all sorts of thoughts about God and think of him continually and want to know what his thoughts are. To love God with all of our minds, then, we must study constantly and thoroughly his word. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, we mentioned that when Jesus was talking about the first commandment, he was actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4, is where Jesus quoted from when he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Here's the next verse in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "These words which I command you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So there in the context in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what are we learning about loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind? Well, one of the things we're learning is that we want to know His words in our minds and in our hearts if we love Him. That's what Moses in the book of Deuteronomy is teaching us. The New Testament says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 that we're to study to show ourselves approved to God, workmen that do not need to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. All of that saying that we need to give diligence to know what God's words are, because God's thoughts are conveyed through His words. Don't you want to know what God's thinking? If you love Him, you do. Just like you want to know what anyone you love is thinking. God has thoughts about us. He has thoughts toward us. He has desires concerning us. He has ways that He wants us to live and things that He wants us to be able to accomplish to be successful in life. What are God's thoughts towards you? Well, the only way you're really going to know them is by studying His Word, by learning it very thoroughly. So we should study to show ourselves approved of God and handle His Word correctly. There's the great challenge of loving God with our minds. We cannot love God as we ought to if we are ignorant of the Bible. And that's one of the reasons at Eastside, we love God. We just love Him. And we want to know what He has to say in His Word. We spend so much time studying our Bibles here at Eastside. Our Bible classes are not about fun and games or, just telling a bunch of stories about what happened to us this last week or that sort of thing. It's not a social club. We have wonderful fellowship with one another in Christ. We share loving relationships with one another here at Eastside, but we love God, and we love God with our minds. We want to know what God has to say, and so we study His Word. And again, I want to remind you, this week especially, we're going to be doubling down on that. We're going to be having not only services today at 9 and 3 this afternoon, but also all through the week, 10 o'clock in the morning and again 7 o'clock each night, Monday through Friday. Come out and be with us. We'll be studying God's Word in depth, learning what's in the mind of God so that we can understand Him and love Him even more and live that out in our lives. You see, the mind that loves God will constantly focus its attention on His deeds, what God has done, and what God has said, His words. Again, Psalm 77 and verse 12, I will also meditate on all your work, and I will talk of your deeds. In Psalm 119 and verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Someone who loves God with all their mind has their mind focused on what God has done and what God has said. That's loving God with all your mind. You're focused on Him. In Psalm 119 and verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. You see what he's saying there? I love the commandments of God. There are a lot of folks in the world that all they look at when they think about God, he's commanded us to do a lot of things. He's trying to force us to do this or do that. But somebody who loves God looks at God's commandments and sees in them God's love. And when you look at them from a loving heart and from a loving mind, you can see that He's wanting the best for us. He wants us to be successful now and in eternity. God loves us. When we love Him back, we'll be interested in the thoughts that He's expressing in His words. We'll be interested in the things that He's done in human history to bring man to salvation. First and foremost of those is sending His own Son into the world to die for us. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's something God did for you and me so that every one of us who believes can have everlasting life. What a great love God has had for us. And what does He want? He wants us to love Him back. It's as simple as that. He wants us to love Him back. It's not all about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Yeah, there are bunches of do's and don'ts, but they come out of love. They come out of love. And if we get that right first, if we get God's love right first and our love for Him, if our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength is focused on God, oh, what a difference that will make in our relationship with Him now and in eternity. But the last part of that great command, we love the Lord our God, Jesus says, not only with our soul and our mind, but also with our strength. We use our abilities, our gifts, our energies, our time to show our love for God. Again, most of us who have been blessed with loving families kind of know something about how this works. If we love one another in a family, we give our strength for one another. We're concerned about one another. We work for one another. We serve one another. We help one another in every way. And that's kind of what loving families do. And that's what God wants. He wants this relationship with us where He's done so much for us already. And He wants us, as we've said already, to love Him back. And we do that by doing things for Him, to put it simply. All of the abilities that we have, all of the gifts that we have, our energies, our time, our strength. So many talents are never used for the Lord. God gave us our talents, and yet do we think to use our abilities to serve God? Giving our time shows a true love for God. When we give our time, we give up part of our life. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Loving God with all your strength, then, means that you will do and dare to do His will. You'll make the sacrifice to do what He wants done because you love Him, because you love Him. Have you ever had a loved one, a friend or a relative who just went beyond what was expected and maybe getting you some gift or doing something that, for you that you just weren't even hardly expecting, but they did it out of love for you and showed great love and appreciation for you by this thing that they did. And maybe they went beyond the second mile to accomplish it. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, Nehemiah is trying to get the children of God who had returned from captivity to build the walls around Jerusalem. And the text says, Nehemiah says, "I looked and arose and said to the nobles and the leaders and to the rest of the people, don't be afraid of these nations around us. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Nehemiah is telling these people, you fight for one another. You give yourselves, your strengths, and your energies for one another, and you do that in the name of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 55, the psalmist says, "I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and so I keep your law." Joshua, back in the Old Testament, is challenged to love God in this way. And at the end of his life, he challenges Israel to do the same. To love God with all their strength, everything they've got, to put everything into it, all of their energy. Joshua 1 and verse 7, God tells Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." When you come to the end of Joshua's life, at the end of the book of Joshua, he tells the people of Israel, he says, "Be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among the nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them or bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God." Hold fast to the Lord your God. That's loving God with all your strength. The world would like to turn us away from using our energies to serve the God of heaven. The world, the devil, if you will, tempts us to get ourselves focused on things that really don't matter that much, ultimately, but to use our energies and our strength and our vitality and our time to do a bunch of things that really aren't going to make a difference in eternity whatsoever. So we get distracted. We get distracted from using our strength where it ought to be used, and that is in showing our love for God. When we go back to our original text in Mark chapter 12, Jesus told the scribe about that first and great commandment, about how it was loving God. And the scribe had agreed with that. Jesus saw that he answered wisely, and he says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." This man wasn't far from the kingdom of God. He understood that loving God was the first commandment. The question might be, well, why wasn't he in the kingdom of God if he understood that loving God is the first and great commandment? The scribe knew the most important commandment, love God with your all. But the question is, was he doing that? And so the question for me and you this morning is, are we doing that? It's one thing to know, here's the first commandment. Here's the thing God wants above everything else. It's another thing to keep that commandment, to love God with everything. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us, 1 John 4 and verse 19. 1 John 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. How do we love God? How do we show our love for him? Well, we put him first. God had told the Israelites back in the book of Exodus, have no other gods before me. How do we love God? Well, we obey him. If you love God, you're going to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Jesus said, John 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And in John chapter 14 and verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. John chapter 14 and verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. All of these passages connect the idea of loving God, loving the Lord, with doing what God says. We love the Lord by doing what he says. We love the Lord by worshiping him. And again, we're inviting you to do that with us today at the Eastside Church. Come out and be with us, 9 o'clock this morning, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, again this afternoon at 3. Oh, we'd just love to have you come out and show your love for God, because that's what worship is all about, too. God has commanded us to come together to worship, but also worship itself is the very meaning of the word, is to show love or adoration. When we come together to worship as the people of God, we are showing our adoration, our affection for God. How sweet it is when the children of God show him their affection. Won't you do that with us today? Won't you commit to loving God, understanding that truly this is the first and great commandment? I want to share with you, my friends, this morning that someday this life will be over. When a person dies, his love of earthly things also perishes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Chapter 9, the wise man talks about that. Love of worldly things and physical things and material things, that's all going to be gone when this life is over. But the love of God is eternal. An old song asks the question, if love never lasts forever, what's forever for? Well, forever is for loving God. If you and I have loved God in this life, we'll be able to love him together for eternity. God is eternal, and God is love. Let's love him as we walk the way that leads to life.